It's Freedom Feeds Live Talk Radio Show. I'm Nima Vedati here in Austin, Texas. We've also got Michael W. Dean across the intertubes from me. How you doing, Mr. Dean?
I am coming to you in bunker vision from Wyoming.
Bunker vision!
I thought I'd mix it up a bit today.
That's great.
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
Yeah.
Fair enough. You can do that every now and then.
So we got an announcement for our Wyoming listeners. We're on 10 stations now, and one of them is in Wyoming. And the Free State Wyoming forums are back up. They, I don't think they got droned, but they were just down for a while. I think someone wasn't answering emails or something, and I don't know what happened. But they are back up. So the Free State Wyoming forum is back up. You can get on there and be feisty because it's good.
Well, Free State Wyoming, like, is the forum, isn't it? That's a lot of their web presence is the forum.
No, that's a gross misunderstanding. No, there's a lot of
As far as their web presence goes.
I thought
you can't really find anything on Free State Wyoming on the web.
Yeah, it's it's a lot of people that don't like to be loudmouths like me. I'm a loudmouth.
Okay.
But I'm not a member of Free State Wyoming. I'm just a friend of the Free State Wyoming people. So, yeah.
Yes. Well, didn't the forum help you along your path to liberty as far as you would jump on there and say something that a newly minted libertarian would say? And they would be like, come on, man. It doesn't work like that.
Well, yeah. Well, it was basically Mama Liberty, but it was on there. And same thing happened on the Free State. Actually, the real... it's 6 of 1, half a dozen of another. It could have been either place, either forum. But my real, like, internalization of people should be in charge of their own destiny happened on the Free State Project Forum in New Hampshire. And the thread is still up. We should find it at some point and read it. It was basically, you know, I was kind of libertarian light, like not fully... You know, basically thinking, well, government's bad.
You watched Fox News and believed what Bill O'Reilly said.
Not Bill O'Reilly. He's no, I was,
not,
I was, I always
never
laughed.
Bill O'Reilly.
I always
never
laughed at that guy.
Yeah.
No, like Glenn Beck in his later stages when he was kind of imitating Alex Jones. When he was, I think actually like, I think someone in his organization was copying Alex Jones. Like Alex Jones would talk about something and 2 weeks later, Glenn Beck would talk about it. But
I think you're just a sucker for drama, and Glenn Beck sells it
because
really
he cries.
Well, drama,
because he cries, and you know, if someone cries,
so
I believe
help
them.
It.
Yeah, it's not
right.
Man,
it's
really...
okay, Glenn Beck. I'll buy the gold. Okay.
No, man, you're making me sound like a little girl, and that's making fun of little girls. Actually,
I'm gonna have a little girl soon, so I don't want to make fun of little girls anymore.
I know. Oh,
I'm noticing babies like everywhere, like way more than I used to.
Yeah, I notice them everywhere.
I don't know if
that's
a biological thing or what.
I notice them everywhere and think my taxes are paying for your future. You're stealing from me already.
It's not the baby's fault now, is it though? Hate,
no, but they want
the state, not the statist.
No, but the warmongers want to. The warmongers who steal billions per second want you to hate the welfare mothers who steal thousands per second.
They do.
I'm not saying the welfare moms are good, but I'm saying that is how they set it up of an us versus them thing, you know, of the government.
Well, you know, I guess the thing is, too, you can't blame people for going after their own self-interest. And in both cases, that's what people are doing. I mean, what do you think the welfare mom's going to like read Rothbard and be like, no, I'm not going to feed
my kids starve.
Yeah. I'll let my kids starve. Murray Rothbard told me to. No. And he doesn't tell them to either. But
well, if she read Rothbard,
yeah, man, people aren't going to stick to their.
If she read Rothbard, she'd actually probably be more likely to go slang Kane on the corner.
There you go. Yeah, I guess that's
support
true
herself.
Too.
Not that Rothbard advocates drug use by pregnant, unwed teenage mothers, but you know, he does advocate for the free market. And hey, there's nothing less free than the free market of drug dealing on the corner, with the threat of execution from competitors and prison imprisonment from rent seeking politicians working through cops who will take your guns away. Yeah. For just being a good gun guy. Yeah. So I was going to say.
At the same token, though. Well, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Yeah, I was going to say that I was going to sue you. No, I was going to say that the Free State Project, there was a thread on there from about 7 years ago where I said, I can understand why marijuana should be decriminalized and taxed, but I could never advocate legalizing heroin, coke, or speed because they hurt people. And if they were legal, you'd have warlords everywhere shooting it out with each other. And people explained to me calmly. Here's what's important. Mm-hmm. They didn't say, get away from me, kid. You're stupid. They said, not that anybody said that really on any of these forums. They've all been very loving to me. Well, there was one guy. There was one gun teacher who we had a – anyway, getting away from that. Yeah, let's not go to Gillette. So there
well,
was –
Well, it wasn't like YouTube comments or the comments on a news story, you're saying.
Right,
it was
right.
People trying to help and inform rather
and
than
enlighten.
Crab mentality, trying to pull others down and make themselves look big.
Yeah, some people just sat there and educated me lovingly, and they'd probably done this 1,000 times before, and they didn't go – ugh. I mean, they might have been saying that in their apartment somewhere, but they didn't say it on the forum. Yeah. And they explained to me how those warlords wouldn't exist if it weren't for the fact that these drugs are illegal immorally and the war on drugs exists. And interesting, there was a comment, you know, that said if it weren't for drugs being illegal, all those people in South and Central America who are shooting each other in the cocaine trade would be picking bananas. Now, that's going to be our segue to our topic of the day, which is banana republics.
Ah, yes, yes. And not the clothing store.
No, which is kind of bizarre that there's a clothing store called Banana Republic, because they might as well have called it Slave Island, because a Banana Republic is basically a slave island in some ways. You know, it's where a country has here's a really good definition. A banana republic is a pejorative term for a country with a kleptocratic government, often with a primitive economy and sometimes a puppet state of a major power. Now, I love that word kleptocratic. It means instead of democracy, it means theftocracy. You know, a kleptomaniac is someone who can't stop stealing. And you and I were...
Which is just another type of democracy now, isn't it?
Yeah. You and I were going to make the argument that the United States is headed to becoming a banana republic. Because banana republics, you know, usually have a shadow government or a shadow organization like some multinational corporation controlling a government and controlling the politics of a geographic region. And they often only have one export. Their economy is often only dependent on bananas or pineapples or fish or something where one company or two companies or a cartel, three companies goes in and takes over it. Now, if the United States is becoming a kleptocracy under Bush and Obama and all of their minions and helpers, what is going to be the main export, you said, of the United States in its banana republic phase that's coming up?
Death and destruction at the hand of weapons suppliers, right? I mean, that's it. It's the military-industrial complex. It would be drones and Hellfire missiles. That would be the main export, man.
Yeah, and the Pope actually came out and lashed out against the plans he led mass prayers for Syria today. And lashed out against the commercial war to sell arms. And good for him. I don't usually agree with the Pope. And the first encounter I ever had with the thought of the New World Order was when I was about 14 in 1978. I found a chick pamphlet on the ground that basically said that the Pope was the Antichrist and behind a vast New World Order controlling all of the armies of the world. He did come out against this war, but his whole thing is like all weapons should be banned except by the Swiss guard who protect him, I think, because he's he's adamantly in favor of Obama's gun edicts, anti-gun edicts.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is his only reasoning for it, but if it is, then he's against the war for the wrong reasons, in my opinion, because he apparently, according to the Al Jazeera story, so maybe it's not the full story, but he says he's against what he called a commercial war to sell arms. And then the other quote in this Al Jazeera story is he encourages followers to say no to violence in all its forms, to the proliferation of weapons and their illegal trade. And there's a big difference to me between Al's gun shop, who's going to sell me a Mossberg 500, and Raytheon Lockheed, you know, companies whose business model is selling weapons to the Pentagon and encouraging John McCain to go get their weapons sold to other military and defense government agencies around the world. And that's the only market because they have captive buyers of stuff.
Maybe the Pope looked at his day planner and it's not yet time for an escalation to a full-scale thermonuclear war in the Middle East. I'm kidding. I'm just riffing off that pamphlet that I saw when I was 14. It kind of blew my mind because when I was 14, I was like, oh, well, the president's the best man in the world and things are good. No, actually by 14, I was really against. I was against because I grew up watching the Vietnam War. I was against it. I was already against the next war by the time I was 14. But when I was 14, I was probably leaning communist without understanding that that just means you want people killed to steal their money. But, you know, a lot of kids are communist or socialist because they think it's fair. And people, dirty old adults tell them, say, hey, kid, come here. You want to see something? And they show them communism and socialism. And they say it's good. That's what dirty old adults do.
Yeah.
Dirty old college professors.
You know what's fair? This is a good opportunity for liberty people is what's fair is deciding what to do with your own money. Like show a kid, like Ron Swanson in that show Parks and Rec when he explains the government to the little girl. She's like, what is the government? Cause it's like for her third grade, she's got to write a paper or something. And he takes her sandwich and he eats almost the whole thing and then gives her a crumb, says that's taxes. You know, that's the government.
And she's really upset. Then he gives her a landmine and
claymore.
A directional mine and says, use this to protect your property. Then her mother comes in really upset. You ate my kid's lunch and then gave her a landmine. Gave her a fragmentation mine.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's a caricature of libertarianism.
It's a great one.
Meant to be funny.
That guy's my hero, man.
It's totally true is show kids because it's really unfair. You know, the state is the most unfair thing in the world. And you're right. A lot of young people get swept up into the concept that they call it social justice. And they think it's fair to take from some people to give to others.
The Pope goes along with that, too.
And their parents probably do that when they're raised. You know, they probably make the kids share things that they don't want to share. They force them to, you know, they grab Steve's Hot Wheels and give it to Fred. And I don't think kids are named Steve and Fred anymore, but I couldn't come up with good names.
So we'll have more here on the Freedom Fiends, but we have homework for you. Go out, find a child, and eat a third of their lunch and say, that's taxes. On the Freedom Fiends.
There you go. On the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Inoculation from indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com. 5 centuries after the first spaceflight, the stars remain beyond humanity's reach. So a mad scientist enlists the aid of a young technician, Nicole Orem, as they travel through the solar system, encountering the hazards of space and human treachery. Quantum Vibe, Volume 1, Nicole, collects the first 400 strips of the epic sci-fi webcomic series. Available now from the major online bookstores or direct from bigheadpress.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and 2 designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Freedom Fiends. Fiends. Freedom Fiends.
Yep. You heard it right. It's Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. I am Nima Vidati. That's me. We've also got Michael W. Dean across the intertubes.
Yeah.
What's up, man?
Yeah, well, we're going to play a little 1 minute and 40 second clip here of Ron Swanson from Parks and Recreation teaching a little girl what government is by eating her lunch. It's pretty good.
You just sit there.
What am I supposed to do tomorrow?
What's it on?
Why government matters.
Really? It's never too early to learn that the government is a greedy piglet that suckles on a taxpayer's teat until they have sore, chapped nipples. I'm going to need a different metaphor to give this 9-year-old. What's your name, ma'am?
Lauren Burkus.
Lauren, my name is Ron Swanson, and I'm going to tell you everything you need to know.
You mustard in your mustache.
Don't sass me, Burkus. Let's get started. Life, liberty, and property. It's John Locke. This is your lunch. Now, you should be able to do whatever you want to with this, right? If you want to eat all of it, great. If you want to throw it away in the garbage, that's your prerogative. But here I come. The government. And I get to take 40% of your lunch.
He's eating it.
And that, Lauren, is how taxes work.
That's not fair.
You're learning. Uh-oh. Capital gains tax.
Are you Ron Swanson?
I am.
Okay. Did you teach my daughter?
Oh, you must be Mrs. Burkus.
Lauren was supposed to do a paper on why government matters. This is what she wrote.
It doesn't. Well said.
Yeah. At the end of this episode, he frames her paper that's and weeps one tear and smiles. Why government matters? It doesn't.
It doesn't. Although I would say it matters in a bad way, right?
Yeah.
Like it matters because you need to know that it's out to get you, just like you need to know that there's a wasp nest right there and you got to watch out for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
The wasp but yeah, that moment, government. And maybe that's why I thought of it. That moment when she looks at him after
he says, "That's not fair."
That's not fair, because it's not. And little people get it. You know, tiny little kids who people don't credit with knowing things, and they need to be indoctrinated more and have the sick philosophy of the state twisted into their brain holes
by dirty old men working for the state who are because they're pushing this socialist re-indoctrination, redistribution. And it's not just the Democrats; they're a little more blatant about it, but. Explain how Republicans can be redistributors and not free market when they say free market.
Well, I can explain first how they are. They're some of the biggest promoters of the indoctrination, right? I mean, it seems to be the right that gets upset when the Constitution is not taught. It seems to be the right that gets upset when there's no flags everywhere, or they get upset when the Pledge of Allegiance isn't said, or when people don't stand up for the religious song of the state, whatever that may be, you know, the various hymns to Merca. And so, yeah, I think that that's part of the biggest problem. And another good example, you know, some people like to say that libertarianism is a cult and it's cult-like. But we don't have magical songs or pictures of all the leaders ever framed on the wall and an attachment to their life like it's a hagiography of saints. You know, that kind of stuff doesn't really exist in the libertarian canon.
Hagiography. I taught you that word, didn't I? That's a good word. It could be the word of the day.
Okay. Hagiography.
Well, it was the word of the day. I learned that word because someone used it in a derogatory term in a review of my movie, Hubert Selby Jr., It'll Be Better Tomorrow. And they said it was a hagiography of him, meaning a celebration of the saints, meaning it only painted him in a positive light.
Right, right. But I guess as far as right-wing redistribution like I said earlier, Raytheon, Lockheed, Boeing, all of these companies that gave up the model of selling to actual customers and buyers and realized when they're when they're selling to people who are spending other people's money and have an unlimited trough to pull from, they're going to make a lot more money. What is it? The F-35, one of the most recent jets that's just horrible and can't even fly through clouds because lightning will make it crash, and its code name is Lightning or something like that. And somebody brought up the point that, hey, maybe that's the plan, because they make all their money on the front end on research and development. So if they make it bad, they can just scrap it, and then they can make more billions or trillions saying, oh, well, we need to go back to the drawing board. We need to redesign this whole thing. We need the R&D team on this. And just fleecing the taxpayers for billions and trillions of dollars for stuff that's not useful to any person. I have no use for a fighter jet. Do you, Michael?
I'd like one. I hope that they are sold in military surplus stores when Libertarian Paradise or LibPair happens.
We'll have more in just a bit.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Howdy, I'm Ben Stone from the Bad Quaker Podcast. I'll show you the difference between leadership and authority and how to eliminate the demand for authority while remaining peaceful and even calm. We have a forum, and it's got gardening tips. Check out the Bad Quaker Podcast at badquaker.com. That's badquaker.com.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
Yes, it's the Freedom Fiends. Welcome back to more Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. I am Nima Vidotti.
Yeah.
My goofiest radio voice. We've also got Michael W. Dean over there in Michael Land. How's it going, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm happy to be on the radio and happy to be on Genesis Communications Network. And we are not required to say this every hour or anything like that. No. I just thought I'd say it because I was thinking about it. If I could fantasize and envision a network that the Fiends would be right to be on, it would be one where the ads are like half health food and half body armor. That's kind of me, man. I'm like, I'm kind of hippie, but I love guns, man. I care about what goes into me, and I love guns. So it works. Yeah. It works, man.
And body armor, a defensive piece of tactical gear.
Yeah.
Gear, right?
Although, a lot of police would like you to not have that. And actually, in California, if you commit a crime while wearing body armor, it's an enhancement to the crime.
Really?
Yeah, like you tried to protect yourself.
They use that as a multiplier? That's stupid.
Yeah, it's so square, man.
Ah, California.
California. I left, man. I got out. So we wanted to talk about banana republics, and we were laughing about how ridiculous it is that someone named their clothing company Banana Republic, because it sounds like, you know, it basically means Slave Island. It'd be like calling your clothing company Slave Island. The reason,
although no homo, I kind of want those clothes now. I was on their website today.
Oh, they're really nice clothes.
Researching the segment. Yeah.
And this is not an ad. But basically, the idea of calling it Banana Republic was in the 70s when they started, the kind of clothes they sold were, you know, something you'd wear in a jungly kind of area, like really nice cargo pants and those, you know, photographer jackets that have all the little pockets for lenses and ammo, I guess. Yeah. But Banana Republic, I mean, that basically means, read the definition again. We really like it.
Yes, the definition. A Banana Republic is a pejorative term for a country with a kleptocratic government, often with a primitive economy, and sometimes a puppet state of a major power.
Yeah, and we're conjecturing that the United States is going to become a banana republic where the shadow government, the, you know, like the people behind the NSA who have secret courts and vote to take away more of the Bill of Rights every day in behind dark rooms and in back smoky rooms. Actually, they're probably smoke free now, but and they can do things like what are those letters called where they can send you a letter and then you're not legally allowed to mention that you got the letter.
A national security letter. It's a letter from a U.S. government agency demanding information related to, quote, national security. I'm doing the Dr. Evil quotes, national security. Yeah. Independent of legal courts, and not only that, but it contains, as part of the definition, a gag order preventing the recipient of the letter from disclosing that the letter was ever issued. So it's so super secret.
I call that rendition light. You know, rendition is taking light. You somewhere else to torture you. This is rendition light. You know, they'll just send you a letter and scare the heck out of you. And we're wondering what – and this is not a challenge, but we were wondering what they would do to someone who got one of these letters and then talked about it on their radio show. I don't think they'd Bradley Manning you. What did you say they would do?
I thought that they would Bradley Manning you. Yeah, or something similar. But
who was the other guy?
If it was a thing where, you know, you did – it became a big publicity thing and it was some kind of situation where you got the NSA letter and you're like, nah, I'm not going to go softly into the night. I'm going to make a big deal out of this. If you were big enough, I think that they might try to Edward Snowden or Bradley Manning you.
No,
I guess
there was another
Edward
guy.
Snowden you because they didn't catch him yet.
You had another name. It was another guy. It was the Reddit guy. The RSS guy.
Oh, no, because you said they would probably just make your life awful. And I said, yeah, well, maybe they would Aaron Schwartz you.
Yeah, which is basically Eric Schwartz was threatened with about 150 years of prison time. And he allegedly killed himself, although there's always some question of if some dark behind the scenes organization or person killed him and made it look like a suicide. That's always possible too. Kendrick Lamar
has a line about how he wants everybody as at his autopsy so you can know exactly when the government shot me or where the government shot
me.
Yeah. I love me some Kendrick Lamar, but anyway, NSA letter, national security letters. Yeah, how can you say that this is the land of the free and that there's a justice system that's based on innocent until proven guilty? Yeah, LOL justice. Justice in Dr. Evil quotes.
Justice light.
Not even.
Justice light.
When you can have a federal government agency issue you a letter demanding secretive information and then you're not allowed to talk about it, how anti-First Amendment even is that? Or anti the whole spirit, supposed spirit, of the law?
If I were to make a movie about this, the judge in the secret court issuing these orders would be named Justice Light.
There you go. Yes. Anyway, but we were talking about banana republics and what it would look like if Merca was a banana republic. And
let's talk about the history of them a little bit, though. There's a couple of fruit companies that came out of companies that ran banana republics. There's a line too in a Dead Kennedy song. If you in the Stars and Stripes of Corruption, there's the line: "If you want a banana republic so bad, why don't you go move to one?" Which I like a lot better than the if you want to live without government, move to Somalia because it's specious because there's a lot of government and governments committing horrible things in Somalia and making it the brunt of jokes. Right. Here's what I say. And I'm going to do a little aside here. If you want more government, move to North Korea. I just watched there's a new Vice documentary about North Korea. They snuck in there once and filmed with camcorders. And then they went back as a diplomatic liaison, private diplomatic liaisons with Dennis Rodman and three members of the Harlem Globetrotters and did some basketball exhibitions because their new child king – whatever his name is, the mysterious emperor.
Kim Il-sung.
Yeah. He loves basketball. So, and this is kind of interesting. Like, a lot of people criticized Dennis Rodman about this, like comparing it to Jane Fonda sitting on the laps and wiggling, you know, on the laps of the Viet Cong, which I don't even know why that was a bad thing.
Did that happen?
Was kind of tricked into that. And there was a picture of her. She was so denigrated for that recently somebody put together a picture of John Kerry and her together back in the 70s, and it's a faked picture. Like trying to make him out to be a bad guy for having been a peacenik back in the 70s, and some of those same people are now yelling at him for being a warnik. And I'm like, well, what's wrong with being a peacenik, as I said yesterday?
Yeah.
But – you know, what's wrong with not wanting to be drafted and forced at gunpoint to go shoot, you know, give up your life, give up your girlfriend, quit college and go across the world to shoot at other young men who don't, who are being forced to do it too, you know,
to do the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then having your life so ruined that when you get back, you have post-traumatic stress and you want to do nothing but drink yourself into oblivion.
And they didn't even have a name for it back then. They called it shell shock, I think. But, yeah, man. So Dennis Rodman went to North Korea and played some b-ball with a North Korean team. And it kind of reminded me of a really cool thing that happened to help bring down the wall and bring down communism in Russia. Was basically, and this, the Hubert Selby Jr. says this in the movie, in the interview, a last interview I did with him before he died. He says, you know, it's something like, it's not politicians that are going to change things and make it better. It's like a couple of dancers going back and forth from Moscow to New York. Because there was this publicized, and it was done by governments back in the Cold War. They sent some ballet dancers from New York to Moscow and vice versa. And it opened up the idea of these people aren't horrible tyrant. Yeah. You know, like the average citizen there isn't a horrible person, and they've got beauty and they've got art. And that's exactly what Dennis Rodman and Vice magazine did by going to North Korea. You know, it's completely. a horrible place. It's a place where, like, for listening to the Freedom Fiends, they would kill you, bill your family for the bullet, and then send your family to a concentration camp. And that is not an exaggeration. They would do that in North Korea. But the average person there isn't making that happen. They're brainwashed from birth. And there's a lot of corollaries between nationalism in America that drives tyranny. And Republicans and Democrats alike complain like, well, I didn't vote for this war. How is this happening? It happened because you pushed saying the Pledge of Allegiance in high school. And you said, like, yeah, support the troops no matter what. You know, I mean, my son's in the army and I can't criticize him for doing that, but I can criticize the effort of the thing that he's put himself into. And he put himself into it because, you know, the economy was so bad. It was the only thing that seemed worthwhile. It's the poverty draft. You know, they don't have the draft anymore, but they've wrecked the economy probably intentionally to the point where people join the army.
Yeah.
And the, you know, the thing that makes America bad instead of good is My Country Right or Wrong. It's all this kind of nationalism. And you can look at North Korea and say these people are weeping when the dear leader walks in the room, and how absurd is that? And how absurd
but
is
people
it?
People did that at the Obama inauguration, yeah, didn't man. They?
Yeah, yeah, and they did it with Bush. They did it with Reagan. Republicans do it with Reagan now. And we're going to talk at some point about how Reagan instituted more gun control before and after he was shot by some madman.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the same concept, the worship of the office. And that's really it, because it's not just the worship of the great man.
Bill O'Reilly does
that.
He's like, you got to support. You got it. Yeah, like Bill O'Reilly gets really mad when people are really out and out adamant against Obama, even though he hates Obama's policies. He's like, you have to have respect for the office.
No, that's the worst thing. That's the concept we're trying to tear down, like you would tear down a Berlin type wall.
Peacefully.
Tear down the mental block in people's minds against true freedom, because that's really what it's about. And not only is it the same concept of statism in America that you see in North Korea that we're trying to attack verbally and philosophically here, but also Washington, D.C.'s Navy and military forces and Air Force. And I'm going to start calling it that, I think, instead of calling it the U.S. military. It's Washington, D.C.'s military. Let's be honest about it. And nobody likes Washington, D.C., so I think that's a good PR move on my part here. But part of the reason why people in North Korea can be so brainwashed is because North Korean leaders can point at United States or Washington, D.C.'s military actions and say, look, they're out to get you. They're trying to take away your freedoms. The same line that people buy here, people also buy in North Korea. And so there are things like military exercises and flying fighter jets right across there, and even things like the demilitarized zone and pointing guns at each other. If Washington D.C. had a policy of hands off and just walked away from the conflict, I think there would be unification of the Korean Peninsula. And Kim Jong-il before and Kim Il-sung now wouldn't have such an excuse to say there's foreign invaders and I'm going to protect you. If it was none of that, then people would have to look at each other and say, why are we still doing this? Why do we have to have such a militarized state? Why do we have to starve so that we can have more weapons? There wouldn't be a good reason or a good excuse or justification. And we'll be back with more Freedom Fiends in just a bit.
The demilitarized zone is one of the most militarized zones in the world.
Right, yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Yeah!
Hello. Welcome to the Freedom Fiends.
Yes, the Freedom Fiends live. All right. So, we were talking about banana republics, and something called the Banana Massacre, I think, is really relevant to bring up here. If you will now turn your Wikipedias to Banana Massacre class, and we will go ahead and read the first
with
paragraph.
Freedom Fiends, Distance Learning Liberty. Liberty class, episode 258.
Yes. So this is kind of telling on how things worked in a banana republic.
I just want to say, do you know about before the Russian ballerina exchange in the 70s? In the 60s, there was a U.S. Chinese ping pong playing exchange that under Nixon. Do you know about that?
I know it from Forrest Gump.
Oh, there you go.
That's that right. Scene where,
and you're the guy that was complaining about how these kids today, they only know about
they history, only know history from movies.
Yeah. All right. I was there,
well,
man.
Some
I saw
things
it on
are
TV.
Obscure. And yes,
I saw Walter Cronkite introduce it live. All right, go on.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
When I was your age.
Yeah, yeah. So where do we go? Do we want to talk about Nixon and China? Or
no, man, Banana Republics.
Banana Massacre?
Banana Massacre.
Sure, sure. So yeah, this was a massacre against workers of the United Fruit Company on December 6, 1928 in Colombia, specifically Cienaga near Santa Marta. They don't have a death toll, but apparently it was a lot, enough for a wiki page here. And the government decided to send the Colombian army to end the month-long strike because they said – they tried to push the blame on the United States Army, the Colombian general who ordered the shooting of all of these banana pickers. He said it was because the U.S. Marine Corps threatened to invade. So rather than having that happen, he said that he commanded the troops to shoot their own citizens.
So it was his nuclear excuse, like the same excuse the U.S. used to drop the bomb in Japan. He was basically saying, if you don't come over here and fight, we're going to have to kill these people to shorten the war. Now, what corporation owned this plantation where we had the boss man walking around with his sidearm on his khakis, on his stylish khakis in this Banana Republic?
It was the United Fruit Company.
Which, did that become Dole or the other one? There were two or three of them.
I believe it became Chiquita United Brands or something to that effect.
Yeah, it became one of them. One became Dole and one became Chiquita. They're the United Fruit Company and then the Fruit United or something. I forget, but.
Right, right. And here's the thing is people complain about how, you know, you libertarians, you just want corporations to run the world and it would look like this. But it's important to point out that the guns and the shooters weren't corporation board members. They weren't corporate employees. On both instances, the threatened massacre was on the part of the United States Marines, which are exactly as they sound, government employees who receive a government paycheck. And the ones who actually did pull the triggers were Colombian Army. Again, government employees who get a government paycheck.
The workers didn't have guns. In our libertarian paradise, you wouldn't need unions because the workers would have guns. And we should talk a little bit about how Hawaii became an American state. That's kind of interesting. It used to be a kingdom, and then the missionaries came in and turned the king Christian and then westernized him and then got him to sell his nation and his people to America, basically.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of convoluted, and it's hard to oversimplify it like that. Like, it was actually a queen, not a king, who ended up
What was her name? She had a very musical name. A very musical name.
Oh, man. Now I got to turn my Wikipedia page to Hawaii. No, the king was Kamehameha.
Yeah, that's it.
Which fans of Dragon Ball Z will recognize as a special move where you throw a fireball or something. But
racist.
Hawaii's kind of interesting, and it's too complex to really even get a good sense of it, I think, from something as simple as Wikipedia.
I think we should have, like, on those millionaire shows where you can call a friend, we should just have Scott Horton on speed dial for things like that.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know if he'd be able to get the Hawaiian history down pat. Maybe he does. I don't know. I've never heard him talk about it much. But we'll be back with plenty more Freedom Fiends. Maybe during the break we'll do a little more research into Hawaii and into banana republics in general, and again try to further the case that the massacres from the banana republics, in fact the concept of banana republic itself, points to the state as the villain, not the corporate entity, and the corporate entity's bad actions were a result of the fact that it is an arm of the state. A corporation is a state granted thing. It's a document you get from the state.
Commerce good, corporations bad. We love the free market, and we're going to go there now. The true free market on the Freedom Fiends.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Yep, it's Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I am Nima Vidati here in Texas. We've also got Michael W. Dean out there in the WY. What's up, man?
I'm in Wyoming. I am broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural Wild Mountain West in the occupied states of America. And we fell down parallel perpendicular, cone-centric, parenthetical wormholes during the break. Yeah. We got like a college education in the 8 minutes between the 2 hour breaks. You know, they're trying to steal a bunch of tax money to buy a bunch of kids iPads now in schools so they can go on Khan Academy and be led by teachers to work on Khan Academy. You and I were talking 2 years ago saying they could just replace public schools with Khan Academy. It's K-A-H-N. It's run by a guy whose last name is Khan. And it's like kindergarten through grad school of everything, of every subject on the internet, yes, better than schools teach it.
And logistically works better because it's not just about it's better because it's a better curriculum. No, it's better because it's individualized, i.e. you can watch the video at your own pace, learn at your own pace, take the tests at your own pace. You can't progress to the next level of learning until you've proven your proficiency with the last one. Those are all logistical problems with public education.
It's like the Freemasons or the 12 steps.
What? Oh, okay, yeah. I don't know what you mean by the Freemason, but yeah.
Well, you have to go to one step till you go to the next step.
Sure, sure. Whereas in public school, you know, you got 30 kids, one teacher. The kids can't press pause when they don't get something and listen to it back. No, the teacher has to keep going on. And so you have 30 kids. Each of them learns at a different level. Some are going to get left behind, and some are going to get bored because they're moving ahead. And with Khan Academy, the ones who move forward just do it faster, and the ones who need more time still do it.
And so all the kids get a better education. Schools are starting to embrace it now as a teaching tool. I think because teachers realize it could replace them, so they have to get in front of the parade.
They're trying to co-opt it. Yeah, maybe.
You know, my dad, and it's kind of a modern problem the way schools work. My dad just turned 92 this weekend. Yay. Happy birthday, Dad. And he went to a one-room schoolhouse during the Great Depression, and he graduated at 15 because the school was like grade 6 through 12 in one room. And if you got bored because you'd learned everything in your grade, you just went and sat with the kids in the other. Yeah. So here's the wormholes we fell down. We were talking about banana republics and how offensive they are and how they are a problem of the government, not a problem of the free market, like critics of libertarianism say. They're actually only able to function because governments back them with their armies and navies.
I mean, that was basically why Smedley Butler issued his statement about how he was a goon for the corporate interests. But he wasn't, some kind of corporate hitman like in that one book.
Who's Smedley Butler? You got to say.
Smedley Butler. I think he was a general.
Because in The Fiends, you can progress to listening to the next episode on the radio on The Freedom Fiends, which you're listening to, without having heard all the other ones. It's not like Khan Academy. So some listeners may not know the glory of Smedley Butler, the fighting Quaker.
Was he a Quaker?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Let's see. Well, let's find his quote where he says war is a racket, because that was the title. I think he wrote a
book. Was a high-ranking military man. He wasn't some pacifist hippie.
Well, he wasn't a hippie. He major wasn't a general. A chance.
He's a major general in the U.S. Marine Corps. Died in 1940. Was the highest rank at that time. He was an outspoken critic of U.S. military adventurism. What a term.
Yes. And I will read his quote because he did a lot of this state enabling of
for the banana
republics.
Wars. Yeah.
Yeah. And here's the full quote that's probably his most famous, or at least one of them. I spent 33 years and 4 months in active military service, and during that period, I spent most of my time as a high-class muscle man for big business, for Wall Street and the bankers. In short, I was a racketeer, a gangster for capitalism. I helped make Mexico and especially Tampico safe for American oil interest in 1914. I helped make Haiti and Cuba a decent place for the National Citibank boys to collect revenues in. I helped in the raping of half a dozen Central American republics for the benefit of Wall Street. I helped purify Nicaragua for the international banking house of Brown Brothers in 1902-1912. I brought light to the Dominican Republic for the American sugar interest in 1916. I helped make Honduras right for the American fruit companies in 1903. In China in 1927, I helped see to it that Standard Oil went on its way unmolested. Looking back on it, I might have given Al Capone a few hints. The best he could do was operate his racket in three districts. I operated on three continents. Boom.
Well, yeah. He was called the Fighting Quaker, and he was a Pennsylvania Quaker from Pennsylvania, the area the Westchester is in what the part of the Pennsylvania called Pennsylvania. And that's pretty near where I went to school at the Church Farm School. Westchester is very near Paoli, Pennsylvania. So, yeah. Smedley yeah. Butler.
And now
like
he seems to be pointing at Wall Street or big business as the villains here. And yeah, he's probably right. But that doesn't mean – when he says he's a gangster for capitalism, I really think he's talking about a conception of capitalism where you have corporatism, where you have giant corporations that are arms of the state and work hand in hand with the state in a fascistic way to use the military to their own ends. Because that's what he's pointing out here. He's laying out example after example of the corporatocracy using the military for its own ends. And in the end, to where neither of them are doing what these kinds of institutions should do. The military is no longer an institution of defense in these cases. And the businesses are no longer institutions of providing goods and services to the public in a peaceful way that we think of, but instead being gangsters, just like he says.
And if you're just tuning in, this is the Freedom Fiends, and we're talking about the history of and ramifications of banana republics. And that's a term that's kind of been co-opted. There's a clothing company, which we say they might as well have called themselves Slave Island, because that's what a banana republic is. And there's no discussion of banana republics could go unfettered and unspoken without a mention of the Woody Allen movie Bananas, where Woody Allen plays a New York intellectual who becomes a communist rebel in a banana republic to impress a girl, which is why a lot of young people become communist and socialist, because young girls are told, hey, it's fair to redistribute the wealth. And then guys go, yeah, yeah, girls like it. Yeah, he's trying to impress Diane Keaton, who's, I think, really hot for a skinny lady. She was in she played Michael Corleone's wife in The Godfather. And she was in Annie Hall. She was in a bunch of good 70s movies. But Woody Allen played a revolutionary in a fictitious country called San Marcos, which I thought was real because there are so many towns called San Marcos, but there's no country. Yeah. There's a town called that in a bunch of banana republic-y kind of places, or cocaine republic kind of places, like Bolivia, Colombia, Costa Rica, Ecuador, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Mexico, Nicaragua, Peru, and
Texas
and California. And it's also there's a battleship in the Navy, U.S. Navy, called the USS San Marcos, which the delineation of that ship is LSD-25, which is kind of interesting because the drug LSD is called LSD-25. I had to look this up. I'm not a Navy man, but LSD in
or
this case.
Or an LSD man.
Or an LSD man. But LSD stands in this case for dock loading ship, or as the military designates it, loading ship, comma, dock. So it's LSD. And the LSD number of that ship is 25. LSD also stands for Lakeshore Drive, a road in Chicago, the Louisiana School for the Deaf, the League of Social Democrats, a political party in Hong Kong, and an organization founded by Timothy Leary, a religious organization called the League of Spiritual Discovery.
Nice.
Wormholes, nice. Man. Wormholes are how you...
That's a definite backronym.
That's how you work. Yeah. That's how you learn on the internet. See, I can't use Khan Academy. I can't focus enough, man. But I just learned a whole bunch of stuff in 8 minutes. I got a college education in the term LSD and in banana republics. Yeah. And then there's a Simpsons that's a takeoff on the Woody Allen movie Bananas, where Homer becomes the dictator temporarily of a sugar republic on the island of San Glucose.
Nice.
And he says, nice. He who controls the sugar controls the world, which is a takeoff on the movie Dune, where he controls the spice, controls the world. And spice is a drug, a vitamin, and something to power spaceships for time travel in the movie Dune.
Well, let's do a counterfactual or a thought experiment here. If the corporations –
That was a Dennis Leary rant, wasn't it? I'm kind of proud of that whole thing.
Yeah, no.
Not Timothy Leary. Feisty Dennis Leary rant number one.
Rant. Yeah. Yeah. Which he has the best feisty rant in Demolition Man, and it's one of my favorite things he ever did.
Yeah. He also
he
has
rants
one
about how he wants to sit in a greasy spoon and eat pig fat until it kills
while
him.
That's smoking
his right.
A Cuban cigar. Yeah. It's a very he's a very very libertarian leaning. You know what's weird? That guy that we don't like, that talk show host that calls himself a libertarian but isn't, Bill Maher.
Bill
Maher actually was the producer of that Vice documentary where Dennis Rodman goes on a basketball friendship mission to North Korea.
Oh, cool, cool.
So anyway, you were saying
right sometimes. Yeah. Seems like a lot of people. Well, okay, so here's the thought experiment, right? Imagine a stateless society. How could you have a company? Because you wouldn't even have a corporation in a stateless society because, like I said, a corporation is a state-granted immunity from liability.
Well, how would you have a banana republic? Here's my macho libertarian.
What would happen, though? Hold on. I'm not done with the thought experiment. What would happen if the company came to an island? It was full of fruit, sugar, whatever. They wouldn't have the money or resources. It wouldn't be profitable to them in a market loss or profit loss situation to sit there and murder people until they gained control of the island.
I have a macho libertarian flash answer. The people that the company is aggressing again would walk down to Walmart and pool their money and buy a suitcase nuke to get rid of the company.
Well, suitcase nukes are a myth. But yeah, exactly. That's my point. Is if you had if these people were on equal grounds, you know, then the people who lived on the island would be the ones getting wealthy from those resources.
Yeah,
they wouldn't be exploited. This exploitation is not it's solved by communism. It's not solved by more state because then you're just trading slightly more free exploitation for way less free exploitation. It's just different degrees of exploitation.
Banana republics are corporate democide, and democide is a term revived and redefined by political scientist R.J. Rummel as the murder of any person or people by a government, including genocide, politicide, and mass murder.
And bananicide.
Bananicide. Yeah, it's kind of hard not to make jokes with bananas because you know, bananas are kind of funny. I mean, there's actually some movie I saw. I forget where it is.
You can put them in a pocket and be happy to see you.
Oh, it's in a death clock. You know, they always have the training montage with the mentor teaching the hero in a movie. They have the montage and they have the loud metal music during the montage. There's one in death clock where they're learning to be comedians and the mentor is pointing at a blackboard and he's pointing at a banana. That's like lesson one, like a banana peel on the ground.
Lesson
for to slip
one
on.
Is the banana joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All
it's
humor.
In our nature.
All humor comes from bananas. More when we come back on The Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies!
Jesus.
On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadavi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
Yeah. It's Freedom Fiends live. Yeah, it's the talk radio show. We were talking about banana republics. Oh, I should let Michael introduce himself too. I don't want to get started without my partner. How's it going, man?
Hey, I'm good, man. I'm good. I spewed some macho Irish flash there in that last episode. a la Dennis Leary, Timothy Leary, and Pope Saint somebody. Francis.
Michael O'Dean.
Well, I am Irish. And, you know, you make jokes about it. You say I look like an IRA member.
That's a redirect because you say I look like some kind of
Middle Eastern. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, different part of the world, man. We were talking about
every country has their own terrorists, and often they work for the government. And that's what we're talking about today with banana republics.
Right. Right. And, you know, we tried to get together some good stuff on Hawaii, it's kind of sparse, but I did see some dissenting views here. Tom Woods apparently did do an interview with Scott Horton, where Scott Horton interviewed him, and the conquest of Hawaii is listed in the show notes as one of the things. So maybe we should have good old Tom Woods, the excellent libertarian historian, come and enlighten us a little bit about Hawaii. But he also gave a speech about it, and in the speech notes, the organization UCC, some college somewhere, says that the Christian missionaries actually helped the Hawaiians to ward off European conquest. I don't know what his argument is, but I would imagine they were like, no, it's okay. We don't need you to force this upon us. See, we're already converting. We're already starting to build things. See, look, now we have a kingdom. And then I think eventually they did have a republic. Now we have the Republic of Hawaii.
A republic, if you can keep it.
If they can keep it, and apparently they couldn't. There are Hawaiians there's actually a Hawaiian liberation movement. You know, there are Hawaiians who feel like it is an imperial thing. And actually visiting Hawaii last year, you kind of do get the sense that how can this not be an empire? You know, I'm in this Polynesian tropical island that has nothing to do with the contiguous United States. At least it doesn't seem like it does inherently. There's nothing intuitive that this should be part of the United States. And these are all people with a completely different culture, speak a different language, you know. I mean, people complain about Spanish and, you know, everything should be English and not Spanish. But again, a lot of those places where people complain most about that, it did used to be Spanish-speaking areas. And in Hawaii, it just seems – you can't help but get the sense that this is some kind of imperial conquest, some kind of jewel on the crown of the empire.
What's the saying? They have the Hawaiians have a saying in Hawaii.
How
does that translate?
Yeah. Well, some native Hawaiians who are of more of the independent mindset have this comment. They say that early European settlers on a mission first told Hawaiians to look up to God as their savior, and as they were looking up, their land was stolen beneath them.
Ugh.
And I guess here's the thing, as you say, well, yeah, people always get upset when they lose politically and stuff like that. And it's like, well, they have a right to, I think. Why should anybody be forced to live in a situation that they don't like? I mean, that's kind of the whole concept here of libertarianism.
I'd be willing to bet that the Hawaiians who have the separatist movement or the go back to the kingdom movement ideology, I'll bet they are looked at as – you know, weirdos at best and, you know, like anti-government terrorists at worst, just for thinking that.
I wonder if they have their own militia movement.
Probably. Well, Hawaii has really bad gun laws for gun owners, so it'd be kind of tough. I mean, the joke is, but this is actually kind of true, is that Hawaii is where Japanese tourists go to shoot 22s.
Right. That's funny. Because, of course, Japan's gun laws are even worse than California's or Hawaii's.
Mm-hmm.
Another interesting thing about Hawaii and disrespecting land and treating this as nothing but an imperial prize is after Pearl Harbor, one of the islands, Kahului, was used as nothing but target practice by the U.S. Navy.
Were there people living there?
No. They had moved all the people off because it became state property, not state of Hawaii property, but U.S. FedGov state property, and just bombed it so much so that it's uninhabitable. It was sparsely inhabited before, but I think, or it was used as some kind of traditional religious thing for Hawaiians. But now it is a preserve, and people couldn't live on it if they wanted to because there would still be unexploded munitions.
All Americans who are proud that Hawaii exists and that the military protects us all, picture this. You're sitting in your apartment, you know, polishing the bayonet on your Mosin Nagant and watching Red Dawn, either the original or the remake. They're both good. You're sitting there, you know, being a good patriot, watching Red Dawn, stroking your bayonet. And a foreign army kicks in your door, says, we're going to relocate you 1,000 miles away so we can use your town for target practice. That's what that is, man.
Yeah, it really is. Oh, and if you're an environmentalist who wants more government, think about the environmental destruction on the island of Kahului or in Iraq with the depleted uranium. And we'll be back with more Freedom Fiends after this trip to the market.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Not your dad's talk radio.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com.
It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon. And Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Nima shushed me.
Yes, I shushed you because we're about to go on air live because this is the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show, and I am Nima Vidati, and I am the shusher of Michael W. Dean. How's it going,
the central shushinizer.
Shushinizer.
You know, we
yes.
never said that we decided all those cops who wrote the letters to Eric Holder saying, don't decriminalize pot federally. Those cops could be collectively thought of as the central gooninizer.
They could.
And I just thought of the greatest name for today's episode when we put it up on a podcast.
Oh, yeah?
What's that? Yeah. A banana republic, if you can keep it, ma'am.
Yes, obviously a rip on good old Ben Franklin's quote. Supposed yes. quote. Yeah, I don't know if yes. you said that or not. Sounds kind of fantastical and hagiographic to me.
Yeah, you like that word. Yeah. You like, yeah, it's you good like one. The celebrations of the saints.
I like to use it because haggy is such a cool phoneme. Haggy. It's also great in haggis, and I have a friend who lived in Japan as an English teacher for a while. He's a white guy, and his last name was Hagibush, and he said that's how the Japanese students pronounce it, was Hagibush, and just sounds cool.
Okay, I found the perfect picture for it, too. It's an AR-15 that someone has stuck a banana in instead of a mag.
Because it's a banana clip?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. I like that. All right. Good times. So we had wanted to continue on as long as we're talking about atrocities due to the concept of the state enabled and caused atrocities. We have a list of mass killings under communism, and you came across this through your looking for examples of democide. Is that right?
Yes. Which is we should define.
Yes. Well, do you have a definition handy, or do you want to just off the top?
It's basically government-sponsored murder. Whether it's direct, like Hitler, or the U.S. dropping a nuke on citizens in Japan, or indirect, like the American war on drugs, or the American war on guns, which people get killed in all the time.
And R.J. Rummel, who's credited with coining the term democide and also doing – he did it as part of a giant research project. Isn't it something like 280 million people's deaths he attributes to democide? And that does not include wars.
Yeah.
That is extra war killings, killings that did not depend on wars. Included in that list are mass killings, especially this list we have from communist countries.
The apartheid system in South Africa.
Yep.
Definitely fit in there.
So let's see.
Voting.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll start with the Great Purge in Yezhovshchina. Not really good at Russian.
Now, is this the pro-communist mass murders or the anti-communist mass murders? We have the list of each.
Do we have a list of each? I don't see where there's a distinction here on the page.
What's the page say?
But this sounds to me like it's pro-communist because it was in the Soviet Union. And see, all the list I have just says states where mass killings have occurred, and then it lists mass killings by the state. So in the Soviet Union section, I have the Great Purge, national operations of the NKVD, the Great Purge in Mongolia, purge. It's such a
yeah. Smedley Butler used the word purify for one of his military actions, which basically means kill people who disagree with you or will offer any resistance. It's that kind of like Orwellian. It's not really Orwellian speak. It's more like U.S. military speak.
I think he was saying it tongue in cheek, though.
Yeah.
At least in that book and in that quote. But yeah, it's that concept of Sheldon Richmond's, the airbrushing barbarism, using fancy talking to hide the horrible, inhumane, barbaric morality of state, usually, actions. Okay, so now I've got your list of anti-communists, but I guess we're going to keep on the communist stuff right now.
You'll never get through all of these. Just read the list. Just barrel through it.
Okay, Great Purge, National Operations of the NKVD, Great Purge in Mongolia, Soviet killings during World War II. I guess that doesn't count because that was that could probably be categorized under war. In the People's Republic of China, there was obviously land reform and suppression of counter-revolutionaries. And there were mass killings here. One-tenth of peasants, Mao envisions, would have to be destroyed. That was Mao's goal, was to destroy one-tenth of peasants.
Isn't there a quote that's attributed to William Ayers, he may or may not have said, but it was kind of a belief among some communist radical U.S. citizens in the 60s that 10% to 30% of American citizens would have to be killed to initiate their communist workers' paradise here?
I think it's human population of the world, not any specific nation's citizens. And there's something about that. I don't know who's into that. And I think Alex Jones has done work on that. So you might want to look that stuff up. But yeah, and supposedly Ted Turner is a subscriber to that philosophy.
Who knows?
This is all anecdotal on my part. I have no real.
You're just saying what the theories are. You haven't researched them.
Yes, exactly. Or I'm saying what I've heard or conceive of the theories.
You know who Ted Turner's married to?
No.
Jane Fonda.
Ah, okay. Was. Well, there you go. Or who's, was. Yeah. Anyway, Mao didn't reach his goal of killing one-tenth of the peasants, which would have been about 50 million people. But he gave it the old college try, and 712,000 people were executed. 1.29 million imprisoned in labor camps.
Jane Fonda divorced Ted Turner in 2001. Go on.
Okay. And then there was, of course, the Great Leap Forward. How great state speech is hate speech is that? Great Leap Forward, which ended up being the cause of the Great Chinese Famine, which people call that one of the most deadly mass killings in U.S. history. Some estimates.
U.S. history?
World history.
Thank you.
Or Chinese history.
Didn't they kill more people than there are in America in that?
Let's see. Some people's research indicates the death toll was at least 45 million. I've heard ranges from 30 to 60. So in these state atrocities like this, it can be hard to tell because the state's generally the apparatus for keeping records.
When the U.S.
does it. They're
not
the most honest when they do this kind of stuff.
Yeah. Khmer Rouge too, man. Pol Pot. I mean, they're soldiers. There's a famous painting of those soldiers throwing babies up in the air and shooting them with an FNFL.
Oh, man.
Khmer Rouge.
I didn't even want to hear that.
I can't pronounce it, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you were going down the list to Cambodia, which let's see. Population of 7 million, and some estimates are about 740,000 people died. So yeah, there you go. That's about a tenth of the population. But estimates get higher, up to 1.7 million. That's a whole big chunk of the population of a country killed by the
Khmer Rouge. And that song inspired a Dead Kennedy song, Holiday in Cambodia.
Which is a great song. Yeah,
yeah, it's a great song. It's kind of weird, though, because it's basically like it's not saying if you want a communist paradise, move to Cambodia under that regime, which I would say. But it's kind of more saying like something that you'd expect a right winger to say, like, oh, you have this soft life sitting in college thinking you know how the world works. Maybe you should go to Cambodia. I don't really know the point of it, but I know the chorus is Pol Pot, Pol Pot, Pol Pot, Pol Pot, which is kind of amusing.
I thought the chorus was there's a holiday in Cambodia.
Okay. Yeah.
the goat boy voice.
yeah. Well, there's a line that he goes, Pol Pot, Pol Pot, Pol Pot, Pol Pot, Pol Pot, Pol Pot. Yeah, it's a bridge.
I know. The bridge is Pol Pot. Take it to the bridge.
Yeah. You were complaining about young people who only know history from movies. I never heard of Pol Pot till that song. When I was 18, I heard that song, and then I looked it up. Yeah,
nice. It was a silver lining, I guess, just like the banh mi is a silver lining of French imperialism in Vietnam. because that's how they figured out to make baguettes with rice flour, and the most delicious sandwich in the world was born out of that.
It's a Vietnamese or French Indo-Chinese.
It's a Vietnamese tasty dish called banh mi. It's a sandwich, but the reason it tastes so good is because it's on a baguette, but the baguette is made with rice flour. So the French introduced the baguette to Vietnam, but obviously they didn't have a whole bunch of wheat flour in Vietnam.
You got peanut butter in my chocolate. You got chocolate in my peanut butter.
Oh, yeah. Kind of like that. Yeah, I guess.
It's the only good thing to come out of the Vietnam War. You know, and another thing that came out of the Vietnam War, that was the first war where the U.S. used drone aircraft as spy planes.
That's a good thing?
No, it's not a good thing. But a lot of it's okay. A horrible thing. And, you know, everybody, they always embed in innocence. You know, governments like when I was a kid, I was so into NASA and I watched the moonwalk, you know, not the Michael Jackson video, but the actual walk on the moon, the first one when I was five with my dad. And we were really excited about it. I was like, science, man, science, big science. And all that NASA technology, you know, basically turned into the drone war.
Yeah. Drone war surveillance technology to kill people. I mean, they have that that thing that they want it to be able to strike anywhere in the world within minutes, and it's some hypersonic flying device. I guess you could call it a missile, but like the ultimate cruise missile. They spent billions of dollars on this that they steal from you.
It probably doesn't work in the rain, though.
It doesn't work. Yeah, it can't stand the rain. It's all Missy Elliott on them. Yeah. So, man, I guess we've still got tons on this list. Basically, suffice it to say that
government
the state is responsible for so much death here. East Germany, Romania, Democratic People's Republic of Korea, Vietnam.
Republic. Hey, Republic, Ethiopia, if you can keep
Hungary.
It.
Hungary. Yeah, a Republic so we can kill you. Soviet famine, mass deportations. Tibet. Yeah, I mean, obviously Tibet. And I'm just scrolling down here. And okay, so you wanted me to also read some of the anti-communist ones. You felt that was important.
Yeah. Just to show that, you know, we don't like communism, but we're not going to pick on communists as the only murderers out there.
Okay. Well, the Dirty War refers to the state-sponsored violence against Argentine citizenry from roughly 76 to 83, carried out by Jorge Rafael Videla's military government.
What about Pinochet?
Commie, we'll kill you. Dirty War is also the name of a great book by Jeremy Scahill that I hear good things about. Pinochet. Let's see if he's on this list.
Was he communist or anti-communist?
Let's see. In Chile. So in the days immediately following the 73 Chilean coup d'etat, the National Stadium was used as a concentration camp holding 40,000 prisoners, some of the most famous cases of desaparecidos. People who are disappeared. Oh,
Pinochet
cool
was, yeah. Pinochet was democratically elected. There you go. Democracy in power.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of his generals became Chicken Man on Breaking Bad.
Yes, where truth and fiction meet around on the other end. We'll have more Freedom Fiends, including the Tweak and Review, on our way back from the market.
A banana republic, if you can keep it, ma'am.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Want to contribute to liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Fiends.
All right. Fiends. Yeah, that's what it is. It's the Freedom Fiends. It's a radio show. And we're on it. You just listen to it, and the end is now.
We built this.
Yeah, we built this.
Tell
radio.
The story, Nima.
Tell
the
story. Okay, it's a story. So, yesterday I got roped in out of the kindness of my heart to do some work because there were people who flaked at the cable contracting outfit I do day job at. And normally I don't do work on weekends anymore because I have the Fiends and I have my DJ gigs, but I didn't have a DJ gig on Saturday, so I ended up doing a bunch of installs. And on this one, it was one of those heck jobs, if you want to be radio friendly. And the pole, you know, it was so ghetto. The pole was in the backyard, shared by like four fences, covered in trees. It hadn't been, the trees haven't been trimmed in years. Overgrowth, and a dog, a vicious dog, you know, not just barking like, hey, I bark, bark, but, you know, growling and foaming at the mouth, showing its teeth, just barking at me from the other side of the fence. And I'm like, ah, I probably got to get into that backyard to put my ladder up on this telephone pole and go and connect the cable. So I go knock on the guy's door. And explain, hey, yeah, I'm doing a installation here. It'd be nice if I could get into your backyard. I think that's the only way I'm going to be able to get up on the telephone pole. And I'm like, and your dog's, you know, he's kind of, I don't think he likes me very much. And he's like, yeah, I heard him. He was barking. I'm like, yeah. Do you think you could put him away? He goes, nah, I'll probably just YouTube it. Like to my face, like just looks at me and laughs like, nah, go get bitten. I don't care. I'm Dr. Two. Yeah, I'll just film it. Yeah. I mean, he looked like a total burnout. And so, but I just sort of stared at him like, ha ha ha. Yeah. Funny. Put your dog away, please. Yeah. And so he did. But then I didn't need to stay on the pole. I actually, was able to go to the other fence. But anyway, yeah, man, people are rude. But that's not what we were supposed to do here, is it? No, we're supposed to do the Freedom Fiends tweak and review. Man, it kind of felt like we jumped around to a bunch of things today.
It worked.
But,
it so worked.
It worked, and there were some overriding themes. You know, I think there's still four bullet points we could pull out of this. Bullet point number one, Banana Republic. Yeah, like Michael says, what do you say about Banana Republics, Michael?
If you want a Banana Republic so bad, why don't you just move to one? To quote Jello Biafra from Dead Kennedys. One.
Yes. And of course, yeah. I mean, seems like it's kind of an offensive thing to name your clothing company.
Slave Island,
yeah. And so, but I think our takeaway was that the reasons Banana Republics have horrible working conditions and massacres is not because or merely because of the greed of some capitalists with top hats and monocles. No, it's because of the enablers of those top-hatted capitalists, quote capitalists, you know, Dr. Evil quotes. It's because of the enablers, the state. If the greedy capitalists didn't have the military and people like Smedley Butler to go around and be the gangsters, the enforcers, the muscle, then they wouldn't have the money to hire people with their own money, because who would do that? You know, if I got to go hire army? No, it would be cheaper for them to buy the product honestly and outright, in which case the people who – the entrepreneurs from the island itself who came up with the way to harvest the bananas using local workers, they would be the ones getting richest. The people owning the distributing companies would still make money. Everybody would be happy. It'd be a win-win situation, the opposite of what happens when you have fascistic corporatocracy that was the cause of Banana Republics. And we also talked about United Fruit Company as being an example of one of the massacres that helped us get to this understanding, i.e. that people who are banana workers tried to strike in Colombia. The Colombian army was called out, and the leader of the army decided to shoot the strikers because the United States Marines were threatening to invade in the interest of the United Fruit Company. The pressure being the state, the violence being perpetrated by the state. The United Fruit Company was being a crybaby about workers, but if there was no state to pull the trigger, their crying would have been like a tree falling in the woods.
A banana tree falling on Slave Island.
On Slave Island. And we also talked about Hawaii. I think people, we should fiend source that. Do a little bit more research. Help me understand.
We have a fiend in
Hawaii.
We definitely have a fan in Hawaii.
We do.
He's the guy who says knives.
Knives, yeah, exactly. And thank you so much for being with us. Join us for our Wednesday podcast where we can say whatever we want to say. Peace.
Worms.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FREEDOMFEENS.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, man.
Take care, Shane.
Yep. See you next week, guys.
Worms.